Interesting details that she told, some of which I can't tell here, but many interesting details you won't find in the Lilamrita. But we know that some of the first devotees were Mukunda and Janaki. But they were living as boyfriend and girlfriend, and Prabhupada was encouraging that they should get married. This is not proper to live like this. So then they thought this was a good idea to introduce Jamuna to Krishna consciousness, that we're getting married, we'll invite her for the wedding ceremony. So they called up Jamuna and told her she has to come such and such date, they're getting married. So Prabhupada was very excited, so he cooked a nice feast for Jamuna when she was coming. Now at this point in her life, Jamuna was into a special type of diet called macrobiotics. I haven't heard of it recently, but practically the only thing you eat is brown rice and chikusan soy sauces. Everything else is a big apparat. Especially ghee and sugar, milk products, oh my goodness. Those are big apparats. So she was used to eating very simple, this brown rice and chikusan soy sauce and like that. All right, everybody turn off your babies, they're crying in the middle. You can't live without them for a few minutes. So she came in from the West Coast into New York, and they brought her up to Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada cooked this whole feast, but with, you know, things like ghee and spices and milk products and so many things. So Jamuna saw this feast, and she was just horrified, you know. And she was just like nibbling at everything, you know, just taking a little taste. So Prabhupada wasn't satisfied. Because, you know, if you go to Indian's house, they just feed you and 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 feed you, and they never stop. You have to learn we learned the trick one time when Indian man, he told you, you have to roar like a lion. No! Then they don't give you anymore. So Prabhupada is from that wonderful culture, so he was also not satisfied. He's just nibbling at everything. So afterwards, they were sitting, and Prabhupada was thinking how to get her to like prasadam. So he said, I know what you will like. All my disciples like too much. And he turned around, on the shelf behind him was this tin can with just crusted with sugar crystals just dripping down the edges of it. You know, crystallized sugar. And Prabhupada pulled out this gulab jamun. Now for macrobiotics, this is the maha elephant apparat. Sugar, ghee, milk, all rolled into one. This was the elephant apparat, mad elephant apparat. And he handed, all my disciples, they liked too much, they handed it to her. Now, she tried to hide it in her hand, but gulab jamun is not a thing you could hide in your hand. She put it in her mouth, the whole thing, and began to eat it, and she said, this detail is not in the Lilamrita, she said, I knew right there I was going to throw up right in front of everybody. And I ate that gulab jamun. Somehow, I don't know how I got it down without throwing up, but I vowed that I will never, ever, ever have anything to do with this fellow for the rest of my life. She personally told me this story. Then they were talking some more, but Prabhupada was so charming. She just vowed never, ever to have anything to do with this guy for the rest of her life. And Prabhupada was so charming. You're coming from the bride side because you're the sister. So it's the bride side duty to make the feast. So if you come tomorrow, then I will show you how to do Indian cooking. And somehow Prabhupada was so charming, she just vowed never to have anything to do with this guy. But Prabhupada was so charming, and she was, you know, we know Jamuna's a famous cook, so this was something interesting to get to learn how to do Indian cooking. So Prabhupada gave her a list. He wrote down the list of things to get. And she promised she would come at 7 o'clock in the morning the next day and help cook the wedding feast. So on the list, there was something called, she couldn't read it. It said Tumarin, Tumaril, something like that. So anyway, the old guy, he won't remember that I didn't get it. He won't notice. So she got everything. So this is not in Lilamrit, this is from her own mouth. She showed up 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Now this was an ungodly hour for us of those. We used to peek out, oh, at 9 o'clock in the morning, peek out, oh my God, there's sunlight outside. And by her own description, she showed up with the hair all over the place, blue jeans, a t-shirt, and no bra. This is how she showed up at Prabhupada's door. Prabhupada, you know, she knocked on the door, and Prabhupada invited her in. You know, then he opened the bag and he pulled everything out. You did not get any turmeric. You did not get any turmeric. Immediately Prabhupada noticed. He said, oh, he'll never notice it. And she made some excuse, well, I couldn't find it. The boys are getting here. Anyway, I have some. It doesn't matter. Then he looked at her, and he said, our Indian ladies, they're very much afraid that some hair may fall in the preparation. So they like to tie up their hair. Is it possible you can tie up your hair? So Jamuna, she tied up her hair and they said, now wash your hands. Everything she did, Prabhupada, now wash your hands. Then Prabhupada asked her to make a medium soft dough. And she says, well, for making croquets, for making this, for making that, you know. Prabhupada said, how old are you? You do not know how to make medium soft dough. Because he wanted to make samosas, you know. So she said, Prabhupada dumped out the flour on the table and sprinkled the water, and with one hand, you know, he just he had some dough. And then he told her showed her how to make, you know, roll out the dough and make it into little, you know, fill up the filling inside and fill it up, and the rest of the, every time she touched something, Prabhupada, go wash your hand. So in this way, this was her first experience of Srila Prabhupada. And she told that sometime later, she did, one of her things was calligraphy, you know, very fancy writing. So she was going to Nepal to learn some calligraphy. And one time Prabhupada asked her, why do you want to go to Nepal? And Jamuna thought for a moment. She said, well, I'm looking for the highest thing. And Prabhupada's eyes got very big like a little child. He said, you're looking for the highest thing? Huh? You're looking for the highest thing? You just stay here with me. I will show you one day what is the highest thing. And there we were in Southern Oregon installing the highest thing, Sri Sri Radha Banabihari. Prabhupada, you just stay with me, I will show you one day what is the highest thing. She told us about how one time at Radha Damodar, because that time there was no Krishna Balaram Mandir, no Krishna Balaram guest house, no MBT, so everybody was somehow staying here and there, and a lot of people were in Radha Damodar temple, and downstairs there was a lot of noise. And she was living in the room, she and Gurudas were living in the room upstairs from Srila Prabhupada's room. So Prabhupada suggested that he move upstairs because a lot of noise downstairs. So they moved Prabhupada upstairs and they're bringing all the things down and shifting all the Prabhupada's things up. And she was thinking that what's Prabhupada going to do with that old monkey? There was one old lady monkey that used to come and steal everything and tear the cloth, and we put your cloth out to dry, and they had named her Kakati, old lady monkey. He said, what's Prabhupada going to do about that old lady monkey? So one time she was bringing something upstairs and the door was a little ajar when she came up, and she peeked, she heard some noise inside, and she peeked through the door. And she saw the monkey was there at the window, at the bars of the window. And the monkey went brrrr, and Prabhupada went brrrr, and the monkey went brrrr, and Prabhupada went brrrr. And then the monkey went away. And she came inside and says, "Swamiji, what was that?" He said, "I told her to go away and not to bother me." And never saw that monkey again. So another time, she told us that Prabhupada was coming. So she went to the Brijbasis and she asked them, "What's the best way to make rotis?" And said, "You have to get this red Punjabi wheat berry. I can't remember the name just now. You have to grind it in the morning that you're going to cook. And you have to cook it with neem wood. That's the best rotis. If you go on Braj Prakam with me, sometimes we get those rotis." So Prabhupada came. So lunchtime was there. So she got in the morning she got the red wheat berry. She had it ground right there. She made the chapatis with neem wood. She brought one in. She put it on Prabhupada's plate. Prabhupada broke off a piece, scooped up some sabji, took one bite. And he said, "This is whatever the name of that red wheat berry is. Is it that Punjabi red wheat berry? You ground it this morning and you cooked it with neem wood." Probably immediately, just by the taste, you could tell. Another time they were traveling with Prabhupada. We were so lucky that day. We heard, for those 2 or 3 days we were there, we heard so many stories right from her mouth. And my wife got to learn so many. She was 6 months pregnant. She didn't care. She came there. She stayed in the kitchen. The next Janmashtami, she had all the women for 1 week cooking all these things she'd learned from Jamunadasi. Anyway, she told the story. They were traveling in South India somewhere. And she got deathly sick with this incredible fever. She was delirious. And whoever they were staying with, he had them in a house. There was a two-story house, and there was a division between the men and the men's side and the women's side. So Prabhupada was staying on the men's side. She was staying in a room just on the opposite side of the wall in the women's side. She was completely delirious. But all of a sudden, Prabhupada walked. They were on the first floor, so Prabhupada walked all the way down the stairs on his side, all the way up the stairs on her side, and he came into her room. The next thing she knew, she looked up. Prabhupada had his hand on her forehead, feeling her temperature. And she was just swimming around, and she looked up and saw Prabhupada is there. She was impossible for her to make obeisance or anything. And Prabhupada just looked at her and he said, "You will be all right in the morning." Then he walked all the way downstairs and all the way upstairs back to his room. And next morning she was left if she hadn't been sick at all. So anyway, there's so many wonderful stories, and we have this wonderful book now, Jamuna. And if you read that book, you realize how shallow your devotion is. Her devotion was so deep to Srila Prabhupada. She's always meditating how to serve the spiritual master, how to please Prabhupada. That was her total meditation. I always read that book and I feel I'm just so shallow. No devotion like Jamunadasi. So there's many other, I could go on telling stories, but there's many other people. Is Dhanadhara Swami here? We don't see him right now. Anyway, so we'll ask Devi Shakti Mataji to please come and give her offering to Jamuna Devi Dasi. Jamuna Devi Dasi ki!
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Viranta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. This lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave today, that was on August 3rd, 1974, At that time, Prabhupada had come just a few days before, believing that the temple was to be opened on the Janmashtami. That was just a few days after the 3rd. And he believed that because Jamuna, her husband, Gurudas, who was the temple president then, was writing him very glowing letters that everything will be ready, you come, and on Janmashtami we'll be able to open the temple. Jamuna and Gurudas worked very, very hard. The preparation of the temple was split into two. One was doing the internal preparation, and Jamuna was in charge of that. The deities, their lordships that you see here now, every detail was designed by Jamuna Devi. How the hands were on each of the deities, their faces, she drew them, she brought them to the Murtiwala in Jaipur. Every single detail was done by Jamuna Devi. Their posture, how high they would be, how low they would be on the altar, all measurements were taken by her, the angle at which they would stand. Everything was done by Jamuna Devi. We don't know, we can't even calculate all the effort that Jamuna put into preparing this temple. Now, how that was in 1967, Jamuna had asked Prabhupada, could they go to Vrindavan? They were in San Francisco then. And Prabhupada, of course, remembered that because Jamuna and Gurudas, along with Mukunda, Janaki was Jamuna's sister, and Shamsundar and Malati, these six, they were the pioneers of our Krishna consciousness movement. From New York, Mukunda, Janaki, and Joan, or Jamuna, they went and picked up their old friends, Joan's school friend, Shamsundar Sam, in Oregon. And they came down to San Francisco and started the temple there. Then from San Francisco, when Prabhupada was in Montreal, he called the six of them for a special mission. He personally trained them in Montreal for about, I believe, 2 weeks, and wanted them to go and start Krishna consciousness in London, because this was one of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's grand desires, to have a successful temple in London. So he trained them specifically in bhajan and kirtan, and of course all the other details of deity worship and cooking. Prabhupada had already trained Jamuna. She was like the moon amongst all of the ladies in our ISKCON. Prabhupada gave her personal training in so many arts, and from Jamuna we all learned what Prabhupada had taught her. She was the most fortunate amongst all the Matajis who took shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So then London was a great success with the six of them working so hard together. And then Prabhupada had a plan in 1970. That was 1968 that Prabhupada sent them. 1970, Prabhupada wanted to start a world Sankirtan party. And of course he called his most dependable disciples, those six, to join him. But someone had to stay back and take care of the London temple. So Mukunda and Janaki stayed back, and Shamsundar, Malati, Jamuna, and Gurudas, Prabhupada told Jamuna that now finally you had desired to come to Vrindavan. Now I'm sending you, I want you to make a temple in Vrindavan. So that was when we met Gurudas, and he invited us then, 1970, that you come, you can help Jamuna, she's going to be getting the temple ready. We're going because Prabhupada wants us to start a temple here in Vrindavan. So it didn't happen immediately. 1970, then Prabhupada took the devotees. They didn't come here to Vrindavan for a whole year. Finally, in 1971, after they had traveled to many, many different places here in India, Gopal was part of that group. There he is. Then Prabhupada decided, they were in Delhi. Prabhupada also sent Jamuna and Gurudas to open a temple in Delhi, along with Giriraj and a few others. There was nothing. Prabhupada had complete trust in them. He knew that wherever he sent them, they were going to be successful. Just as with the Bhaktivedanta Manor, how they were able to get that. So Prabhupada brought his whole group of about 40 devotees here to Vrindavan for the first time. And they had the tour. And Jamuna, she was cooking for Prabhupada at that time, and Prabhupada had them stay then in Radha Damodar Temple. And the land was then donated. And Jamuna, she even with her calligraphy, she wrote the deed of that land that's not to be found anymore, but anyway, Jamuna did that. She played such a key role in establishing this temple. And then as soon as possible, as soon as the mud huts were made, she and Gurudas moved here, along with the construction crew. So Saurabh and Gunarnav were in charge of construction. They were new devotees. Saurabh was a brand new devotee at that time, 1972. Gunarnava had come from England to help with the construction. And Gurudas and Jamuna, they were the old stalwarts that Prabhupada wanted to take care here. He gave them so many instructions about the temple. He wanted Krishna Balaram deities. And these Krishna Balaram have a very special pose that you won't find anywhere else in the world. Now everything's being copied, but this painting was done by Bharadraj. So Jamuna had Bharadraj come here, and she, along with Bharadraj, they saw to the carving of Krishna Balaram a special way. Bharadraj would go to Jaipur, Jamuna and Gurudas would go to Jaipur. They had to collect all the money. Prabhupada wouldn't let them touch the construction money to get the deity paraphernalia. They had to personally collect everything for the plates, for the arti paraphernalia. And they were the most beautiful things, as if they had come from heaven, the things that Jamuna had custom made for this temple. Magnificent ghee lamps with little umbrellas going over them so there wouldn't be soot. Only someone who was completely conscious of what was needed for the pleasure of the deities could have designed such a thing. Jamuna designed the altars. Jamuna did everything she possibly could to get this temple ready in time. 1974, just as when Prabhupada spoke this lecture. Now when Prabhupada arrived a few days before, he was disappointed because at that time, all of the courtyard, the marble hadn't been laid yet. This marble was still rough. It hadn't been polished yet. The doors had just been put on. The singhasans were just very simple wood that Gangadhar had made. Gangadhar had made everything wood here. He had made here in the courtyard. And the deities were just about to be put in. They were brought here to the temple. And when Prabhupada saw the temple, in his disappointment, he said, "We cannot open this temple. It's not ready." And it wasn't anger. It was utter disappointment. That because Gurudas, with the San Francisco temple, with the London temple, with the assistance of all the devotees, somehow or other, he was able to magically get everything ready when Prabhupada arrived. But because there was dissension between the devotees here, things were extremely austere at that time, Gurudas was not able to get everything ready in time. So naturally, Gurudas felt very depressed because he was being blamed for telling Prabhupada that everything would be ready. And because Gurudas was depressed, Jamuna, she was on the verge of just giving up completely. So in that state of depression, Prabhupada called her because he understood her. And she didn't want to come and see him. Then he called her again. Finally, Jamuna came to see Prabhupada. And he said to her that, "I'm just like Balaram, dragging you, dragging the Jamuna here. And he tried to encourage her in her Krishna consciousness as much as possible. And with that encouragement, she didn't leave, but she wanted to leave India at that time. It was at that time that I met Jamuna. I was trying my best to learn everything I could from her. She took me to Mathura to see the temples. She took me to all of the temples in Vrindavan. We lived together. There were eight of us in one room. We slept together. We ate together. So I got to watch her and how she had been able to survive in India. She gave me many tips how to live here. Always when we were with Prabhupada, she would be in the back dancing very ecstatically. So we all learned to dance in the back and not disturb Prabhupada with his sannyasis and all the other men who were up in the front. We just learned, we learned from her proper etiquette how to live in India. Because Prabhupada instructed her in so many ways. You stay with your husband, you serve your husband just like the Indian women do. And in that way, there won't be any criticism. Prabhupada very much wanted us, and through Jamuna we learned all of the instructions that she learned from Prabhupada, how he wanted us to live here in India. We all tried to follow that. So Prabhupada became very ill from this disappointment, and he decided to go in September to Mayapur to recover. As soon as Prabhupada left, Jamuna decided, by that time she had met Dinatarini. Dinatarini had offered her and Madira tickets to come take a break. So Gurudas took Madira's ticket and the two of them left. They left without informing anyone. And from that time onwards, for many, many years, Jamuna didn't return here. The next year when the grand opening happened, only Gurudas came. By that time they were separated. Jamuna was already getting settled. She had decided when she made the Radha, small, the Utsav Vigrahas of Radha Shyam Sundar, secretly she made a set for herself exactly the same. So she asked Prabhupada at that time, could she install those deities, and Prabhupada gave the name Radha Ban Bihari. So then we heard about the installation at that, you know, afterwards at Eugene, Oregon.
No, it wasn't Eugene.
It wasn't?
Further south than that.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. So then after many, many years, Jamuna came back. She came to get her things that had all been stored at Bhagaji's, but they had all disappeared somewhere. Nobody knew where they were, as usual. And she came to get things for her deities. And each time she came, we just like a Sarabi cow, we tried to milk her of all the pastimes. Unfortunately, Prabhuji, he got to hear it all at once, but we could only get bits and pieces. I just remember, we don't want to talk about the sad times, but she told me at that time, it's a dog-eat-dog world. They had so many difficulties coming here in the early days. We can't even imagine how difficult it was. There was no residence. Just wherever they were put, whatever they were given to eat, that was how they had to live here in India until finally this temple was constructed. And even then she didn't get to enjoy that and live as comfortably as we're all living now. So as a pioneer, she was always way ahead of the other devotees. And as the moon amongst all of the Matajis, sometimes devotees wonder, so many devotees have died, so many women have died, why do we have this celebration every year? Because had it not been for Jamuna's determination and all of the austerities that Jamuna had performed here, none of us would be sitting here today. So this is a reminder to all of us every year that we should appreciate. One time Prabhupada told me, he said, you should learn this art of loving Krishna from your senior god brothers and god sisters. So if we want to really learn this art, Because how many of us had personal association with Prabhupada? Very few. So we, from our seniors, we learned this art, especially those who had so much association with Prabhupada. And therefore, we honor those devotees, and we try to learn from them. And that way, we can learn this art of loving Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So we'd like to thank Devi Shakti Mataji for very, very wonderful memories and emphasizing again how we're all sitting here very comfortably only by the great austerities of Jamuna, her husband, and many, many other devotees before us. So, is Vijaya Mataji here? Oh, there she is, okay. So I'd like to ask Vijaya Mataji to please come and share her memories of Jamuna Das with us.
Vishnupadaya, Krishna Pastaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Dinamine, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharini, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desitarini. It's a great honor to be able to speak a little bit on the small bit of association that I had with such a great devotee as Jamuna Dasi. And as Devi Shakti was talking about all the austerities that were here, that they had to perform, I'm always reminded that they had no fans, they had no hot water, they had really no facility at all for years and years. That they were. I wondered this morning how they got to Jaipur. They must have gone on that long, long bus ride every time they had to go and eat peanuts on their way. And they must have gone many, many times to have been able to arrange such magnificent deities and paraphernalia. So the performance of austerities is what Krishna loves the most. And we're here on this cold day to honor them. So I got to meet Jamuna Dasi, Devi Dasi, when she came one time to Vrindavan. And I went up to her and I thanked her so much for all that she had done. And she said, I need to thank you and all the devotees here because you have maintained what we started. And in this way, she was always able to encourage everyone else and all the devotees that she met. When she left her body, I was really amazingly impressed with how many devotees came who had had personal association with her. And I understood that she had taken her time with everyone that she met to really connect with them and to encourage them in whatever service they were rendering in a very personal way. So she had she was so detailed in everything that she did and so thoughtful. And it was why Prabhupada knew that he could depend on her in so many ways and gave her so many assignments that he knew that she could perform perfectly. And she never let him down. She actually came one time to order little deity dresses for her deities. And she was so specific in every little detail that she wanted, and yet always everyone that she met, she would include and she would talk to them in a very personal way and tell them, and always somehow compliment them in what they were doing. And she absolutely taught us how to act. So basically, when we first joined the movement, anybody who had been in the movement a day longer than we did was definitely our Prabhu. Because they had chanted Hare Krishna longer than we had. And so we would take instructions from any of them. So because these were the devotees who had come first, and as Devi Shakti said, they had personal association with Prabhupada, basically it was like a parampara system where we respected. I was, even though I was older than a lot of the devotees when I joined, still they were my prabhus, and we listened to them and heard so many things that Prabhupada had said, and were able to learn from them. And in that way, the disciplic succession goes on even among ourselves, as we can learn so much from one another. And I think she was the ultimate teacher, particularly for the women, because she had received so much instruction from Srila Prabhupada. So whenever she came to Vrindavan, she was so complimentary to everyone who was here, and so we're all part of her parampara. Thank you.
Jamuna Devi Mataji ki. So we'd like to thank Vijaya Mataji for some very wonderful memories of Jamuna Devi Dasi. Now I'd like to call Gopal to offer his memories. One thing was, in due respect to Gurudas et al., those days was very, very difficult, because it wasn't you just went to the shop and loaded up a tractor full of cement. You had to get permission from the government for cement, for bricks, for everything. You had to get some sort of permission. The last thing they wanted to get permission for was for a temple. Cricket stadium, skyscraper building, bank building, anything else, but last on the list. So Gurudas had to worked under very, very austere, so that we can't even begin to imagine the difficulty he had to go through.
Namo Vishnuvadaya, Krishna Vastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvasesh Sangyavati, Paskati Desatanani. As far as direct personal encounters with Jamuna, although we may have been in the same room and at the same place at the same time, because of the fact that Jamuna Mataji was a woman and I was a very, very strict brahmachari, interactions with any women was not so much on my agenda. However, I think that of all the devotees, I was the first, maybe Dinanath also was there, but to meet Jamuna Devi. So I can remember in 1969 when they had left from San Francisco to go to Montreal and meet with Srila Prabhupada, and then from there go to England and carry out Srila Prabhupada's desire to fulfill his Guru Maharaja's dreams of having a temple there in England. And of course we know that they had met with great success, and the history of that has been well documented, and many of us know the efforts and the wonderful things that transpired from all of those devotees. I'd like to regress a bit that for me, in my very first visit to the Hare Krishna temple in 1968, one boy told me, he was talking about the glories of Srila Prabhupada and telling me that one day Srila Prabhupada was going to form a world Sankirtan party. and he would select 16 of his disciples to travel with him and spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. So the way this boy described it, that there would be so many boys or devotees to play the drums, mridanga. There would be others to play kartals. There would be others to dance, and there would be one person leading the chanting of Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada would take these devotees with him all around the world. So at that time, because it was my first visit, it didn't have much significance. But later, in 1970, when Srila Prabhupada had made a decision that he was going to come to India, so I had been misinformed that Srila Prabhupada was leaving America because he was disgusted with the American devotees. And so I felt some obligation to Srila Prabhupada that I had to do something for him. So I went to Chicago, and I opened the first temple there in Chicago. But very shortly after that, I received a notification from Los Angeles that Srila Prabhupada wanted you to go to India with him. And so at that time he had already selected the number 16 devotees, and most of us met in New York City, and we had our own Sankirtan party, and we met for the first time, and there was a collection of both male and female devotees, and we collected money for our journey to come here to India. But as we were leaving America, then we landed in Brussels. I think Brussels or Belgium. I don't remember because it's such a long time ago. And there we met up with the remainder of our Sankirtan party, who was Jamuna Mataji, Guru Das, Shama Sundar, Malati, and a little Saraswati, which was the child of Shama Sundar and Malati. And we continued our journey here to India. So at that time was my first meeting with Jamuna. And for me, I always would be observing the behavior of the other devotees. I know that each of us had a different degree of determination and commitment to do something spectacular for Srila Prabhupada. And some devotees exhibited this enthusiasm much more than others, and I took notice of this. And even though Jamuna was Mataji, I could see that she had such gratitude and love for Srila Prabhupada, and willing to confront any difficulties that may arise. and just continue to serve Srila Prabhupada. So, as other devotees have said, at this time here in India, we had nothing. We had no temples. We were dependent on the good-hearted Indians who wanted us to come to their towns to sponsor our accommodations and foods. But slowly we could see that Prabhupada was getting ready to make his own footprint here in India, instead of just depending on others. He made a decision at a certain time to begin different projects here in India. And we have heard many stories how during the course of our travels, there was a time when everyone was going to come to Vrindavan for this to see where Srila Prabhupada lived in Radha Damodar temple. And for me, I was so excited and full of unbelievable joy that I was going to come here to Vrindavan. So our train was stopped at the Mathura station, and someone had gone to arrange for tangas. Tangas are horse-driven carts to bring everyone, because at that time there was no rickshaws or nothing. And so they were waiting for these tangas to come, and I was on the platform in Mathura, walking back and forth, thinking, oh, I'm going to Vrindavan, I'm going to Vrindavan, I'm going to Vrindavan. And I was so, so happy. And then someone came and says, Prabhupada wants you. And so he was still in the train, and I went into the train, and there was Gurudas and Jamuna and Giriraj and a Japanese-Canadian boy named Bruce, who later became Banu after taking initiation. And then Srila Prabhupada told us, he says, I want you to go to Delhi. And I want you to go to Delhi, and I want you to preach. So, of course, disheartened, of course, have to immediately abide by the instructions of the Guru Maharaj, no matter how difficult they may be to consume. I followed along with the other devotees, and of course, as it was in the very beginning of ISKCON, we had to venture out into unexplored territories, places that no man has set foot or gone before. And we had to, because of funds lacking, we had to depend solely on Krishna to provide us with whatever necessities he felt that we were deserving of. And so that time, because Gurudas and Jamuna were husband and wife, and there were three of us who were brahmacharis, we had no money, but for some miraculous thing, we found a very, 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 very cheap hotel near the train station. And so we got two rooms in that hotel. It wasn't actually a hotel, it was just rooms. We began our preaching program. So we did this by going out and chanting, and Krishna provides for those who make an effort, and for some circumstances that arose, we were able to meet with a very rich man in Delhi, Dalmia. I'm not sure if his family is still rich, but at that time, so he had, we had been introduced to him, and we were invited to his house, and you know, coming to some of these Indians' homes, it's like you see pictures of these opulent palaces in the Krishna book, where Krishna would live, or some other very famous king would be living, and his home was no exception to this. And they have servants, one servant for each devotee, bringing foods and stuff, and serving his food on gold plates, not silver plates, but they were gold plates. And he was not sparing any expense. And I believe he became our first life member. And all of us were there together. And the women of the household, they were wanting to spoil. Of course, Jamuna was the only woman, so they, of course, immediately started gifting her nice saris and things like this, and showing her how to dress properly in the way of a sophisticated Indian woman. And we stayed there for some time, although we didn't leave by establishing a temple, but we were the seed planters. And at one point, we were invited to go to visit Indira Gandhi. So this picture is very famous, and we can see that we're standing there. And of course, each of us, as we are interpreting our circumstances, would come to different conclusions. And so, of course, my conclusion was that she was a typical bureaucrat. She, although Hindu by birth, wouldn't make any gestures of, you know, showing favoritism towards our efforts to come here and preach Hinduism in India. But she was courteous, and she wouldn't let us take a picture, but their photographer took that picture that we see today, and then we were given copies of this. And so we left and we went back and we joined group of devotees. So by this time, the number of devotees had swelled to a lot, because they had started putting pictures of our Sankirtan movement in the Back to Godhead after we met with Bhattaraj. I forgot. Now I forgot his name. But anyway, who's the devotee who takes the picture? The photographer? Huh? Bhattaraj. Yeah, he was just here. Anyway, what we had met him on the road, and he started taking photos. Huh? Yeah, anyway. And we were taking the pictures, or he was taking the pictures, and then they were posting them in the Yarubara, okay. So, but after the pictures started appearing in the Back to Godheads in America, everybody was abandoning their duties and coming here to India to be with this this movement, during this time, still we were traveling independently, and the women would keep to themselves, and the men would keep to themselves, and we would intermingle. When it was time to eat, or when there was a program and Srila Prabhupada was going to speak, and also during kirtans, when we would go out on the streets and chant. And always, as the mentor or the leader, where everyone has previously mentioned that Jamuna, she was their model, and if they had any questions or things, she would be very willing to answer these questions. Even some of the boys, at that time we were all boys, I think I was 21 years old at that time, but many of them would turn to her, because someone had also said that if someone had joined one day or 2 days or 3 days before you, they were the senior, and Jamuna, they joined in 1967. So she was senior to almost everybody there, and so they looked to her for guidance. And as I said, I observed each devotee's behavior and their determination in how seriously they took this very important mission that Srila Prabhupada had set out to establish in every town and village. And amongst all of the devotees, Jamuna was one of the topmost in my vision of someone who was very, very determined to show her gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, and be willing to take on any type of responsibility that would be requested of her to make Srila Prabhupada's mission much easier. So, as I said, I didn't have any real personal association with Jamuna other than going to Delhi with her and being in that original party of devotees that came here to India. But her greatness and her love for Srila Prabhupada to me was always visible from the very beginning.
Jamuna Devi Dasi Ki. So we'd like to thank Gopal for some wonderful memories of the great pioneering work that Jamuna Devi Dasi did. Is Ananda Mataji here? Oh, there you are, okay. Would you please come forward and offer your offerings to Jamuna? I remember the first time I met her was 1974 for the Mayapur Vrindavan Festival. This is the first time they ever had it. And in Mayapur, they were just cooking with this horrible buffalo ghee, and we were all so sick. And it seemed like, you know, and we were doing the cooking. They didn't have hired cooks or anything. We were so sick. Oh, it's terrible. But we got here, it was like Jamuna, and we've heard about how Jamuna was so loving and encouraging. She and Gurudas were like the mother and father. They got the word that we were very sick. They made very unspicy prasadam for us, salads. They took care of us just like mother and father. It was so wonderful. That was my first memory of Jamuna and Gurudas.
Thank you. Many thanks to all the wonderful devotees who have glorified Jamuna Prabhu. Her association with Srila Prabhupada was not just from this manifestation. It was definitely from previous association with Srila Prabhupada. And our dear Daivashakti Prabhu mentioned she was the moon amongst Srila Prabhupada's disciples. As we know, the moon is a reflection. The light of the moon comes from the sun. So Jamuna's capacity to receive Srila Prabhupada's instruction and mercy is very deep and her ability to put into practice what he told her is an extraordinary quality which we all have to learn from. It's interesting to note that as Gopal Prabhu was mentioning, the pioneers of the Krishna consciousness movement were individuals who were willing to depend on Guru and Krishna. They were willing to take any kind of risk on behalf of Guru and Krishna and perform whatever austerities came their way on behalf of Guru and Krishna and accept whatever opulences came their way on behalf of Guru and Krishna to serve. I first met Jamuna here, actually in Delhi, in 1973. And we'd all heard about her in the early days, you would hear about the great devotees, and Jamuna was definitely amongst them. When It's very interesting to see how quickly these pioneering devotees, Shamsundar, Malati, Jamuna Gurudas, Mukunda and Janaki, and other devotees, but specifically them, because they had known each other in the past, and they could work together. They were friends. How quickly they were able to create awareness about Prabhupada's movement through the chanting of the holy names and through their preaching. The biggest burst of Krishna consciousness was when the devotees came to London and engaged George Harrison to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide through the medium of record albums. And Jamuna, Gurudas, Shamsundar, Malati, and so many other wonderful devotees were all a part of it. But it was headed by Jamuna. Her voice is very pure, and again, Jamuna's senses were very perfected, and anything that she took to, she was able to manifest a service to Krishna through that medium in a very pleasing way. And as Daiva Shakti mentioned, she represented the parampara from Srila Prabhupada. And for that reason, especially in deity worship, cooking, chanting, decorating, devotion, punctuality, cleanliness, Srila Prabhupada taught her all these things, and she did her best to pass this knowledge on. And it's kind of a sad thing, but at the same time we have to look forward to the future. It's a sad thing that we didn't take full advantage of it, that we didn't actually set up a school for her where she could actually teach, teach in an organized way. But anyway, there's always a future to look forward to, and we have many lessons recorded in books, tape, videotape, to take advantage of. One thing that comes to mind is especially the deity worship in London. Prabhupada trained Jamuna personally how to serve Radha Landanishwara right from the basics. And he wanted her to teach the next person, which was Mundakini Prabhu, and then the next, which was Leela Shakti Prabhu, exactly as he had taught Jamuna. So Jamuna did this, but oftentimes Prabhupada would get asked questions by different devotees, how to do this or how to do that. And he said, "I've already explained to Jamuna. You learn from her, and don't bother me with all these questions." So that is very important for all of us, that Srila Prabhupada has given specific instructions. And as Jamuna herself would say, that these instructions are eternal. They're not just for now. For when he told Jamuna or someone else. But they're eternal instructions. So we, in order to be successful, we have to, as Jamuna and these other devotees like Shamsundar and Guru Das and Malati, no matter what the, and Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki, no matter what the tribulations are or were, to this day they're doing their best to follow Srila Prabhupada and expand his movement. And Prabhupada expects that of each and every one of us, young or old, but especially for the younger devotees, everyone's special to Prabhupada, because each and every one of us, as we've heard so many times in classes, each and every one of us has a particular genius that's been given to us by Krishna, and it's our life's purpose and perfection to learn from the spiritual master how to offer that genius to Krishna, how to be a cog in the wheel and keep the wheel of Krishna consciousness rolling smoothly and fast and everywhere. So for that we have an eternal debt of gratitude to Jamuna for standing by Srila Prabhupada through thick and thin, and for constantly endeavoring to present Krishna consciousness exactly the way Srila Prabhupada had given it to her, because that is the meaning of parampara after all, that the mood of devotion that Srila Prabhupada brought with him to this world from Goloka, Vrindavan, to heal all of us, that mood of pure love of God should be disseminated without any distortion, without any whimsical addition or subtraction, but that should be, as Prabhupada gave it to us, we should be transparent in the same way as Srila Prabhupada is transparent and the way Jamuna was transparent. Within her name there is the moon, Jamuna. So it was transparent because she was able to reflect that light because she was transparent. And pure love of God is actually the cause of transparency. As we sing every day, Prema Bhakti Jaha Hoite, Avidya Vinasa Jaite. That where there's pure love of God, there's no ignorance. All ignorance gets dissipated. So then we can see the soul and not the body. So Prabhupada treated everyone in that way. He saw the soul, and he made everyone feel comfortable and desired. The Prabhupada wanted everyone. Prabhupada is Jagat Guru. He wants everyone, just as Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada and his devotees, they are not just concerned about themselves. They want everyone to go back home, back to Godhead, and in different places in the universe. They're working with Srila Prabhupada and the parampara. Devotees like Jamuna, we can't ever consider them ordinary souls, that, oh, this is just a woman that happened to be graced by his divine grace, but really she's just a woman and Prabhupada was just so kind to her. Not at all. These devotees are eternal associates of Srila Prabhupada, and in that sense, we can understand that we're all eternal associates of Srila Prabhupada, and nothing should hold us back from following in the glorious example of Jamuna Devi Dasi and all the wonderful devotees. I mean, I know it's Jamuna's disappearance day today, but she loved her god-brother Shyam Sundar, Malati, Gurudas. I mean, Shyam Sundar has put so much effort into the London project, which just recently celebrated 50 years of Krishna consciousness in England. And that enthusiasm from there, they were only there 9 months or a year in London, and within that time they built a temple, made a record, two records with George Harrison that went all over the world. I remember hearing that in Delhi when I was at high school at the American International School. I heard the 45 record that they'd made. And I actually saw Gurudas there as well. He was preaching to someone. He was saying, you know, this vibration, if there's anything that can save this the world, it's this vibration. And I had walked past by that time, and I didn't hear Hare Krishna, but I remember he was wearing a chador. So we can never underestimate the potency of Lord Chaitanya's plan and the potency of those who surrender fully to his plan. These pioneer devotees were able to surrender because they loved Srila Prabhupada. So that love or that bhakti is the cause of surrender. They were able to accept whatever austerities they accepted because their mood of devotion was way beyond the effect of the austerities that they had to perform. And their dependence on Guru and Krishna opened up the way to success. So on this very glorious day that Srila Prabhupada and Gauranga Mahaprabhu took Jamuna Devi to another location, we offer her our most humble respects and our humble respects to all the devotees who follow her and her glorious spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. To the generations to come, it's all of you who are going to take this movement forward. So take it to heart. Everyone's important. You, everyone. Everyone is important. Everyone has to become a moon. We don't just have to be stars. This movement is so glorious that everyone can become a moon if we use our independence correctly. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. And please accept my humble obeisances. Actually, that's not...
We'd like to thank Anada Devi Dasi for a wonderful presentation, explaining to us how within Jamuna's name, moon is there, Jamuna, and how the moon simply reflects the sun, light of the sun, and that Jamuna was the direct, simply reflecting whatever Prabhupada taught us. That is our duty, to reflect faithfully Prabhupada. So on this day in 2013, on Saptala Kadasi Day, I understand she was chanting her japa, very sweet. Peacefully she left this world. Hare Krishna. Jamuna Devi Dasi ki.